Last time on Culture File, we heard from Peter Holman about why some scenarios, in particular early music, didn't traditionally require a conductor, and about the process of collective interpretation. This time, Peter tells Áine Gallagher about the changes in music and in the wider world that more and more put the conductor on a pedestal, or a podium at least.
What was the desire for this move to the single conductor and to one person's interpretation?
I think it was all sorts of things. I think it was partly larger ensembles, larger choirs, larger orchestras, larger buildings. It was the expectations of critics and audiences who wanted something much more uniformed and disciplined. And I think that, yes, I mean, modern type conducting certainly improves the precision and the discipline of ensembles. And again, we might think about jazz in that respect, that a jazz band don't bother to start and finish exactly together necessarily, but they play superbly well together. So I think in a way, performances in the past in mainstream music must have been much more like jazz is today. And I think it was more spontaneity, less sort of machine precision. And I think the drive towards precision was something that of course, goes hand in hand with the machine age, the 19th century mass production, machines, precision. You know, it's all part of that. I mean, it's changing culture. It had to happen, I suppose, but I regret it, and I certainly think it's inappropriate for early music. Or at least, I think if people are going to conduct early music, I think that they need to be aware of what they're doing. So my whole book was really just to try to show people what happened in the past and to make them think about what they're doing today. Rolls of paper actually come in the middle of the 17th century. Before that, it's people just using hand gestures. So the roll of paper is a method of amplifying hand gestures. If you have music for several choirs, you have someone standing next to the organ beating time. And I should say, by the way, that beating time was just up and down. They didn't use sideways movements really until the late 18th century, and that has interesting implications for how the music would have sounded. Because I think just up and down tends to give a lighter thing than people subdividing the beat. And if you see a performance where, for instance, something in compound time is subdivided, that's by definition wrong. I think this would never have happened in the 17th and 18th century. Even beating in 4-4, you know, with sideways movements, that didn't happen in the 18th century. Well, certainly didn't happen in the 17th century. Just up and down, the hand up and down, 1, 2, 3, 4, or in triple time, 1, 2, 3, up and down, 1, 2, 3, 1, you know. And that's still being, just up and down movements are still being recommended around 1800 in England, for instance.
So with this roll of paper, which was a symbol of authority, it has been slimlined into the baton, which is still a great symbol of authority. Along with the arrival of these implements, was the authority always becoming greater?
Yes. I don't think it changed very much throughout the 18th century. It began to accelerate right at the end of the 18th century into the early 19th century. But people were still directing from the keyboard in the early 19th century. Rossini, for instance, directed from the piano. So did Weber. I would say that certainly up to Bach and Handel, large-scale works, you know, Handel's Messiah, the Passions of Bach, they're much better directed from the keyboard, really. I've spent a lot of time directing these works from the keyboard, using a minimum of direction. Yes, I've been, okay, I have mostly an amateur choir I'm working with, so I do tend to conduct the choruses, to beat time in the choruses. If I had a completely professional group, I probably wouldn't have to do that. I would just play all the way through, as doubtless Bach and Handel did. Composers in the 18th century devised their music so that it can be performed with the minimum of direction. It's very striking in Handel, for instance, how, say, in Messiah, how groups of choruses can be performed at the same tempo. It's very striking how often Handel starts a chorus with just a chord in the continuo. and he presumably playing the keyboard, just nodded to the continuo players who were grouped around him, and they started off like that. So he didn't even have to have the leader to start it off. We have evidence in the 18th century, later performances of Handel, that in a choral work, something like Zadok the Priest, that the leader would have started off because it starts with an orchestral passage, and that is the way Handel did it as well. Handel's a good example because, by all accounts, there's a lot of descriptions of him rehearsing and performing that he seems to have been unusual among his contemporaries in the amount of control he wanted to exert on performances of his music. And yet this was all done in rehearsal rather than in performance. He wasn't a modern maestro. He preferred to play rather than to wave his arms around. And this is partly because he was doubtless the greatest continuo player in England at the time and preferred to do what he did best, which is playing the continuo. You can look at the history of music and see it as a sort of gradually increase of control by the composer. Certainly until the middle of the 19th century, most composers were also directors of their own music. I mean, the profession of a separate conductor performing other people's music only gradually developed. Philip Hayes at Oxford was one of the first people to make more of a career directing other people's music, i.e. Handel, rather than his own music. But, I mean, gradually, composers wanted to more and more control over every aspect of the music. This perhaps comes to an inevitable conclusion with someone like Schoenberg, who every single note, as it were, indicates exactly how he wants to be performed. And then there's a reaction against that, isn't there, with someone like John Cade, where chance is allowed back in, and performer begins to regain something of the autonomy of early music. This is something that hasn't really been recognised enough when people have written about the history of conducting. Is at a certain point that there is a divorce between the composer and a separate interpreter.
Peter Holman there on the rise of the conductor and indeed the composer. Peter Holman's latest book is called Before the Baton and is out now from Boydell and Brewer. And don't forget, as if tomorrow evening, we'll have a gallery view full of contemporary conductors ready to discuss how their role is changing once more amidst the pandemic. That's in the Culture File debate at 7 p.m. Friday here on RTE Lyric FM.